We are thankful very much for our church family here. For your faces, for the faith shared, for the deep love that you continue to live into each other. God created the church, and at times anyone dealing with the church can end up saying, "So, do you think it was an accident, or do you think you did it to us on purpose?" And on the one hand, that's true, and on the other hand, it's amazing the amount of love that He gives to us through each other, in each other. That's quite an awful lot. Let's give thanks to God real quick, shall we? Lord, we say thank you to you. We thank you for our families, the families that we were born into. Lumps and all, Lord, for the church families that you draw us into, lumps and all. You are good. And you gift us in so many good ways. Thank you for the testimonies of faithful men as deacons. Thank you for the testimonies of faithful men and women as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for giving each other to care for, to be cared for by. Thank you for today. Lord, help us to continue to realize what a gift we have in you and from you, and that all these things come from you. All these good people come from you. We pray this all in your name. Amen. You will forgive me, I programmed in a cup. Good cup. A cup that's luscious, which it just did. Because it's a normal thing. It's a good thing that it wasn't anything that'll stain. But there's something to that. Because, you know, you fill a cup too full, you knock a full cup over, or even a half full cup over, bump a hand lifting a cup, whatever is in it is going to come out. Which is not to say we should be more careful with the cup, because eventually what's in a cup comes out. It goes into someone else for good or ill. That's true with cups. That's true with hearts. And that speaks pretty profoundly to us on a national holiday that on the one hand is a national holiday and on the other hand is a national holiday that looks squarely at the heart. Matters most what's in the heart, what's it full of this time. Because it's going to get spilled, it's going to get shared. And it's better if it's something good that needs to get out than it's something that's better kept contained because it's going to hurt or spill or stain. I have a personal tradition, many of you are probably aware of this. Long about the start of November, I start listening to more vintage radio programming. For one thing, it's a way to stave off the hordes of early Christmas music that wants to be released. It gives the season its own feel, the Thanksgiving season. And within a week or two, I start listening to Thanksgiving-themed programs. And actually, the hymns that we sang more of them. These are common things. These are in the fabric of our society. Especially, we gather together. This is one of the things that you'll hear in our national Thanksgiving programs from the 30s and 40s and 50s at least. Dutch hymn on the one hand, a heritage, but on the other hand, no, it's a celebration of God and His provision. And in the midst of all of that, usually there's going to be more situation comedies. I'm not really into the detective or horror, that sort of a thing. So it's going to be comedies. And if it's going to be comedies around Thanksgiving, it's going to be about the challenges of finding the stuff that you need, either in the 30s when people don't have as much and so they'll celebrate spam, or during the war because stuff was rationed, or even afterwards when stuff was scarce again, or people lamenting the fact that there was all the post-war inflation going on and prices keep going up. So you had to find the stuff, and then people would talk about the challenges of making the stuff, getting it all together, because it's a traditional meal, because since about 1900 or so, we had this, you know, the framing of a lot of traditional things we'd eat. And then, of course, there's the gathering together. And so actually, turkey and feasting, you know what, doing Thanksgiving right, just the outside trappings, the outer trappings of the national holiday are a whole lot. They're worthwhile? Sure. People and societies need traditions like that to dress up, to gather, to eat something you wouldn't normally eat, or to do things or to feast in some way or another. Sociologists will talk about this in terms of being, there's everyday time, which makes people nearly crazy, and then there's anti-time, where they can kind of, it's the opposite, it's doing things different, and it helps them to not be crazy because they can get some of that out or do things different. The outer trappings are a lot of work on the one hand, but they're worthwhile. They can be quite an awful lot. As we've also talked about, however, there's another side to this whole thing. In fact, 1789, any guesses why 1789 we would have a national day of Thanksgiving declared by our president? Anything significant about the year 1789? Yeah, the Constitution came in, and actually early on, and specifically for the Constitution and in honor of the Constitution, George Washington made a Thanksgiving Day proclamation working with Congress. And this is from, whereas it's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will and to be grateful for His benefits, to humbly implore His protection and favor. Whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Thanksgiving proclamation for the Constitution. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November next. So this was not when it became the fourth Thursday or the last Thursday of November. But interestingly enough, from that first year of our constitutional republic with its constitution, we officially did this. To the service of that great and glorious being who's the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, for particularly the national one now lately instituted, the civil religious liberty with which we are blessed, the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, in general for all the great and various favors which He hath pleased to confer upon us. We don't write like that anymore. We don't talk like that anymore. And I was reading it from a scan of an old paper which had all the F's and S's mixed together, because we don't print like that anymore. But he went on, it's lengthy, it's flowery, to call for us as a nation to unite in praying to God to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us, asking God to enable us to perform our public and private duties right, to make our national government a blessing to all the people by being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws faithfully obeyed. From the beginning, God helped this thing to work. To protect and guide all nations and leaders, blessing them with good government, peace, and concord, and promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, praying that God would make true religion and virtue go out in this nation. That was at the founding of our Constitution. That was to be prayed for at the first officially proclaimed, constitutionally set Day of Thanksgiving we have. In other words, at the inauguration of our Constitution, we officially gave thanks to God for it. And all the other great protections and blessings that He's given us, we joined in prayer that the Constitution would be followed, that God would continue to forgive us for our transgressions, our sins, that government would be a blessing, that true faith and virtue would increase in our nation. That's a huge amount. Wait a minute, it's supposed to be a national holiday. That's work, isn't it? It's a lot to have on your mind and to be thinking of. Yeah, turkey and feasting aside, doing Thanksgiving right's a lot of work. Because there's stuff to be thinking about and stuff to be praying for. Stuff to be on our minds. And what matters most in this national feast is not what goes into your belly, but what goes on in our hearts. What's in the cup? Your heart. One of the fastest ways to wonder whether you've got reasons to be happy or reasons to be thankful, one of the fastest ways to lose that actually is to ask whether or not I've really got reasons to be thankful. If you're not careful, we fixate on hopes and dreams and intangible things, and we want to reach for the stars, and we have great expectations, and we have a holiday for that. It's called New Year's. And regardless of what happened in the last year, we have great hopes, right, for the year that comes. We want to see our lives change. We want to see great things. We want peace on earth and goodwill towards men left over from Christmas. And then we see in the month of January that all kind of melt away, and all of our aspirations for ourselves, yeah, no, it's going to be another year. And whereas we think, oh, it's turning over a new leaf, we realize that the person that we are going into this year is an awful lot like the person that went out of the old. And the forces that were at work in the next year end up being an awful lot like the forces that shaped the last year out of our control. And all of these hopes can start to come down as we keep hoping for things, reaching for the stars, right? For myself, moving into 2024, I was going to be graduating with my degree. I was going to be now having a whole bunch of free time to be able to be goofing and doing different stuff, maybe even considering what it's like to have a hobby, right? At least be reading comic books. And then things went different, and I've now continued to have the perspective that we are all handcuffed to the taxi cab of life. May the taxi driver drive slowly for you, that you not be dragged too quickly or too much. And I had August, and I'm really grateful to be here to be talking with you all, because in August I might not have been here. And then I had papers that I had to write, which doesn't seem quite fair. I was supposed to be reading comic books by now, and I went and gave those, and then I had to come back, and I had them cutting out, you know, this is kind of August part two, cutting out stuff. And I'm really grateful to be up here talking to you, because afterwards they put what they call a drain into my neck. See, which is actually it's a tube that went from this side to this side, and you know, I mean, it went under the surface partway through, so it's actually more of a culvert than a drain. And I had this culvert, you'd feel it moving up and down as, you know, the throat moves because it does stuff like that, and everything was really sore. And Monday they were supposed to take it out, but the culvert had too much drainage going on. And Tuesday the culvert had too much drainage going on. Wednesday we're starting to have some doubts about this weekend, but you feel this thing moving up and down. And whereas I had all these great hopes of what the year might be, I cannot tell you how grateful I am to, one, be here, and two, to have that culvert taken out on Friday. And it's like that though. It's like that. Praise God for that. But you know what? It's like that. Have you ever noticed how much easier it is to keep a thankful heart towards God when you look at tangible, everyday, down-to-earth things as opposed to those highfalutin things we're aiming for? Right? It all shifts once you start looking down a little bit. It all shifts once you start dealing with the basics. We worry about, oh, we'd love to see the Great Commission happen. We'd love to win the world for Christ. We'd love to win the Duluth for Christ. And God, I think, sometimes invites us. You know, how about just trying to live, you know, the next 5 minutes for Christ? How about helping this next person here see His light and love today as part of that process that may end up winning this one person for Him? But the thing is that when we look down to these common things and common tactical goals as opposed to the big strategy, we see great moments of success, great moments of things being better like that. There's the nitty-gritty stuff. You and I were born headed for hell, naturally predisposed to sin and selfishness. How do we know this? Because if you look in your dark heart, you still got that. And God loves you and me, and He sent His Son to die to save us as a gift, and He gave us special people in our lives to share that truth with us so that we could be saved. And on the one hand, yeah, that's the faith we live in. For many of you, that's the faith you were brought up in. That's true, but that's the life that you've got that a lot of people around you, man, they don't even have a clue. And so your everyday life that you walk in is this tremendous gift. We live in a world where food is scarce and necessities are scarce. And scarcity is the historic norm. But none of us are dying of starvation. We have clothing and we can buy toilet paper. And on the one hand, you can joke about that. We remember that from 2020. But being able to buy toilet paper is important because nothing will ruin your day faster than to find yourself desperately running in and finding what you thought was relief only to discover. God waters the earth and gives us food. Praise God for that. And God gives water to the earth to raise pulp for the other side of that process. And we need to give thanks to God for that basic, right? Despite being caught in a loneliness epidemic in our day and age. And it's tough, right? Most of us have family connections and ties, and we share even bumpy holiday times because there's stress over holiday times because some of the people can be difficult. Yeah, but you got them. And difficult family members who can be challenging because, you know what, there's no family that's not made of difficult people because there's no one who's not a difficult person to make a family out of. He's given us difficult people to gather with, and He's given us the framework to make family with. Just having time with them is an awful lot. We have this Psalm of Thanksgiving. It's one of the first ones associated with the temple. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Declare His glory among the nations, for the Lord is great, most worthy of praise. You know the living God. You praise the living God. Everyone else, so many other people, they're praising some dopey wrong understanding of who God is. God in His love has shown Himself to you. And He doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't need any of your stuff. And if it comes down to, well, then I'll make Him a homemade gift because, you know, right. You know that God designed the hummingbird. If you haven't looked at the hummingbird, they're amazing. My dad is actually singularly keeping a small flock of them past when they should have left California. He's burning through 25 pounds of sugar a week feeding them. Because this is part of what He's into. That's really cool. But hummingbirds are really cool. God does not need your gifts. And yet God says, bring an offering. Why? Because we need to do that in response, and He knows that, and He loves us. Yeah, I will take it joyfully, happily. Bring me your homemade card. Because I want your love. Let the heavens rejoice, and along with them let us rejoice in Him. Because He's good. Let the sea resound all that's in it. Let the trees of the forest. We got one thing we've got up here is trees. We've got a lot of bugs in and amongst them, but living in the swamp up here, we've got trees. And this is the picture, right? Creation praising God, and yet we see how creation does that. We praise Him too. And you drive by these trees. You drive by the big lake. You drive by all sorts of stuff like that. Move down to the concrete jungle. Yuck. Spend a few years in the concrete jungle. You'll give thanks to God just for the trees in your yard. Just for the color green. We have so many reasons that are just every day to give thanks to God, to join with all creation in thanking and praising Him. Before you look up in thanksgiving, and before you wonder if you've got it all worked out, recalibrate your heart. Okay? Look down for a bit. Look down at the everyday things that He has given you. Life and salvation. Too much food to eat. Too many things, and yet, praise God, we live in a place where we have clothes and toilet paper. And we have difficult people to share a Thanksgiving holiday with, but they're people, and they're a gift. And we learn how to love. You'll never learn to love like God loves if all you're surrounded by are people that are easy to love. Why? Because God loves unconditionally. And if people have no flaws and faults, you'll never learn what it is to love them unconditionally, because it's easy. Look around at the people He's given you to love. None of that had to be there. Refill your cup of thanksgiving, things to be thankful for, and then look up to God in thankfulness. Because we have so amazing much from the nation we live in that opted to thank and praise God from its beginning, to the everyday nitty-gritty life and salvation. Let your cup of thanksgiving be refilled. And give Him praise and thanks this week. It's a holiday week. Prepare well. Remember to read your regular devotionals and to spend time in daily prayer, because things are going to get chaotic. Pray especially for our nation. Each day think about what great strides and hopes you may have seen realized. If something big picture really went well, praise God. But more importantly, think about and see the little things, the normal things, the people you take for granted. Pray for the grace to see the gift and blessing that they are, and give thanks to God all through the week for them, including on Thursday. Let's pray briefly. Lord, we thank You for time spent together. We thank You for the gift of having each other to spend time with. Thank You for You. And for giving us You and each other. Lord, we pray that You be with our homes this week. We pray that You would be with our family gatherings this week. We pray that we would be able to see and give thanks for the gift that each person at the table is, even that one person that usually has a little bit of extra work. Thank You so much for the blessing after blessing after blessing that You've given us. Help us to keep this feast from the heart with hearts full of thanksgiving to You. We pray this in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.